May it please the court, my name is Megan Bothy, and on behalf of Douglas County, Nebraska, I ask that you reverse the district court's order that Douglas County pay Mr. McGow's attorney's fees incurred during the civil appeal of Ms. White's alleged indigence for three reasons. One, the district court does not have jurisdiction over the issue of attorney fees incurred during a civil appeal. Two, the district court rendered a judgment apart from that which this court's mandate permitted. And three, there is no recognized and accepted uniform course of procedure or statutory basis to allow the district court to order that Douglas County pay attorney fees incurred during a civil appeal to the non-prevailing party. First, reversal is appropriate because the Nebraska court rules of appellate practice divest the district court of jurisdiction over this issue. Court Rule 2-109F states that any person seeking fees incurred in a civil case appealed to the Supreme Court or Court of Appeals must file a motion for the allowance of such a fee in the appellate court. This rule applies to Mr. McGow because he seeks fees for services incurred during his civil defense of Ms. White's alleged indigence, an issue that was appealed to the Supreme Court and captioned as appellate case number S-15-350. The rule's use of the words any person to describe those seeking fees in a civil case appealed to the Supreme Court or Court of Appeals clearly encompasses all attorneys, whether court appointed or not. Nebraska Court Rule 2-109F is also subject to statutory interpretation, like the rule that intent is expressed by omission as well as by inclusion. This court specifically included language in the rule that allowed for court-appointed attorneys in a criminal case to seek fees before the appointing court, and it plainly omitted similar language for court-appointed attorneys in civil cases. Therefore, Mr. McGow cannot avail himself to the rule that court-appointed attorneys may seek in criminal cases may seek fees from the appointing court, because he was not a court-appointed attorney in a criminal case and incurred these fees on a criminal appeal. These fees were incurred during a civil appeal, and therefore he should have applied for these fees before this court, which was the appellate court that heard the case and had jurisdiction over the issue. The second reason reversal is appropriate is because this court, after finding that Ms. White was not indigent, did not vest jurisdiction in the district court over the issue of attorney's fees. In fact, it did just the opposite. This court's mandate expressly says, now, therefore, you shall, without delay, proceed to enter judgment in conformity with the judgment and opinion of this court. Each party on this appeal is to pay their own costs. Nebraska Court Rule 2-114B1 specifically lists attorney's fees as a cost that is taxed in the Supreme Court and itemized on the mandate. So there is no question that the attorney fees awarded by the district court to Mr. McGow were the exact same as the costs that this court considered and ordered be borne by each party.
What did the district court judge say about that mandate?
I did not acknowledge the mandate in its order. The mandate is actually presents a question of law. Earlier this year, in February, this court held in Denori and Yost Holmes v. Frost that upon remand, a district court may not render a judgment or take action apart from that which the appellate court's mandate directs or permits.
Did you call this to the attention of the district court judge?
No, this case was just released in February of 2017. But the mandate was brought to the attention and entered as an exhibit in the hearing on the issue of attorney fees. Also in February of this year, this court held in a separate case, had a separate holding regarding the construction of a mandate. In Mary B., on behalf of Braden O. v. State, this court held that after receiving a mandate, a trial court is without power to affect rights and duties outside the scope of the remand from an appellate court.
But there's nothing new there, is there?
New where, I'm sorry.
With respect to the scope after the mandate.
No, so I believe the scope was limited to entering judgment in conformity with the opinion of the Supreme Court. The scope also did not include attorney's fees because the mandate specifically ruled on that. these holdings...
I think Judge Miller-Lerman's question, along with mine, would be, there was no new law in Denori and Yost or in Mary B. Both of those cases applied settled law, correct?
Yes, I apologize. That is correct.
All right.
But those were brought up recently again, and I think relevant to the issue presented to this court.
And that was your argument to the court?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The third reason reversal is appropriate is because there is no recognized and accepted uniform course of procedure or statutory basis for the district court's holding. This court has repeatedly held that attorney fees and expenses in civil cases may potentially be recovered in only two scenarios. One, where there is a recognized and accepted uniform course of procedure, or two, where provided by statute. As to the first scenario, the only recognized and accepted uniform course of procedure in this case is for an attorney seeking fees incurred in a civil appeal to seek those fees in the appellate court, pursuant to Nebraska Court Rule 2-109F, and Mr. McGow did not comply with this procedure. As to the second scenario, neither the district court nor Mr. McGow have cited to any statute that provides for Mr. McGow to recover these fees from Douglas County. Nebraska criminal procedure statutes that mandate counties pay appointed counsel for who represent criminal defendants and prisoners in particular proceedings are not the types of statutes that provide for payment of attorney fees in a civil action and do not apply to Mr. McGow. Furthermore, Nebraska Revised Statute 42-358 does not apply to the scenario in which the attorney fees were incurred defending Ms. White's alleged indigence. This statute provides for payment of a guardian ad litem by a county for guardian ad litem services only where the party responsible is indigent. The fees at issue here are not fees that are awarded by this statute because they were not incurred in the services of guardian ad litem, performing guardian ad litem duties.
What statute are you referring to?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
What's the statute to which you refer?
42-358. The fees incurred that are at issue now were incurred during Mr. McGow's defense of the district court's erroneous holding that Ms. White was indigent in an attempt to ensure payment from Douglas County.
Counsel, I want to be sure I understand the extent to which you are making this argument. If we assume, hypothetically, that a lawyer is appointed to represent the interests of the children in a divorce case under 42-358, and that the court from the outset determines that the parties are indigent and the county will be responsible to pay for the fees, and the court awards a fee and someone other than the attorney, or maybe the attorney himself or herself, appeals the amount of the fee, you are not contending that an attorney appointed under those circumstances may not be entitled to an appellate fee defending or prosecuting the amount of his or her fee?
I believe that fee should have been sought in the appropriate appellate court. And I believe that would be sought under the court rule 2-109F. I don't believe that fee would be sought under 42-358.
But 42-358 would be the source of the statute in the appellate court.
Right, and that would be for payment of the guardian ad litem fees for services performing guardian ad litem duties. So anything incurred, and then if something went on appeal regarding the best interest of the children, that would be included as guardian ad litem duties. But
so your contention is, and I thought logically it led this way, but I wasn't sure that I understood your argument. But logically, you're saying that even though an attorney secures a fee in the district court properly under 42-358, if someone challenges that fee and he must respond to protect his interests in the fee, he's not entitled to any recompense for the expense of doing so.
I think that would be up to the appellate court to which that appeal was taken.
Then, so you in essence concede that 42-358 could be the source of a fee for a lawyer in the appellate court, but only if it's determined by the appellate court.
Yes, if the part party responsible is indigent. And in this case, there's no response, there's no indigent party. This court found that Ms. White, for purposes of Nebraska Revised Statute 42358, was not indigent, and the law of the case must apply. Furthermore, attorney fees are customarily only awarded to the prevailing party, and Mr. McGow did not prevail on appeal. For these reasons, Douglas County would respectfully request that this court reverse the district court's order. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. McGaw, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May I please support Chief Justice and other judges. My name is Jim McGaw, and I appear here as the appellee in this case. This case really comes down to the jurisdiction difference between 42358 and the rule cited by counsel 2-109F. And we believe that this is ultimately a case of first impression. There appears to only be four cases where this court has determined any issue under 2109F, and none of those four cases, one of them's an insurance case, one of them's a work comp case, and two of them are domestic cases, and in none of those four cases was any attorney appointed. They were all fees sought by private counsel.
Well, what is your basis for alleging that the district court has authority to award you fees in an appeal that you lost on appeal and then seek fees for prosecuting that appeal in the Supreme Court when, number one, you didn't file any application for fees in the appellate court? Number two, the party against whom the fees were assessed is not indigent. Three, I don't believe there's any statutory basis for your fees. So what's your best argument?
My best argument, Judge, thank you. My best argument is under 42358. That is the statute that confers almost exclusive jurisdiction with a strict reading of that statute. Exclusive jurisdiction on the appointing court to determine what the fees are.
But you're asking for fees to be paid by the county. The only way the county is required to pay fees is if the party against whom the fees are assessed is indigent, and there's been no finding of an indigency. So what is your argument for fees?
I think that's ultimately the issue is I didn't prosecute this appeal. This appeal was prosecuted by Douglas County.
You're asking for fees for your time spent in arguing this appeal to the Supreme Court on the issue of indigency.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So you were appointed to represent the children. What's your basis for being assessed attorney fees on the appellate court when you're not representing the children?
I don't know. The way I read disciplinary rule or the rule of professional conduct 503.4, I think I had a duty to respond to the tribunal.
Well, who were you representing when you responded?
The
children didn't care whether you got paid or not.
That's true.
The spouse against whom the fees were assessed was not indigent. And unless you have some statutory basis for seeking fees, one, you didn't do it in the appellate court.
That's correct.
And two, the district court doesn't have any authority to order the county to pay your fees.
Well, as far as the jurisdiction that the district court has, we believe that under the statute cited where the court appointed me, we believe that the court does have exclusive jurisdiction to determine
county,
fees.
Or the district court could have made your fees jointly and severally liable, but it didn't do that.
That's correct.
And so when you seek fees from the county for the spouse's obligation to you, you have to show that she's indigent.
Now, at the time the court awarded the original fees that were part of the underlying case, the court did make a determination of indigency. That issue was appealed to this court, and this court determined that Social Security benefits paid for the children to the non-custodial parent for dad's disability, that counted as income, and that then made her, I think that was $804. She had $400 net when you add in that as income, and that made her non-indigent. That was the ruling of this court. So really the question, the first impression question that we believe exists, is whether or not an individual such as myself that's appointed by the court and serves at the pleasure of the court, if the court makes a determination that an independent party comes into Douglas County in this situation, and they decide that they're going to appeal that, if that attorney ultimately, if that intervener is the prevailing party, does that attorney that was asked to serve at the pleasure of the court work for free? That ultimately is the issue.
What? Is there a distinction between your obligation to participate in an appeal as distinguished from the obligation of X to pay you?
Clearly, Your Honor, there is. I mean, I'm in a precarious situation here where I'm arguing about my fees instead of arguing about the reason that I got appointed in the first place, which was to protect the best interests of the minor children. But when Douglas County got involved in the case and when Douglas County prosecuted the appeal, they changed the heading of the case and put my name in the heading of the case. And I think at that point, once they named me as a party in the case, I think I had an obligation to this tribunal to appear and argue our position. Now, ultimately, this court determined that our position was not the prevailing position, but we still were appointed by the court to advance arguments in this case, which...
Had you applied for fees in this court, do you think this court would have awarded you fees on this appeal?
I don't know. We looked at that issue and ultimately determined that 42.358 was the exclusive remedy.
That provides that a district court in certain circumstances can make appointments in that court in a criminal case?
No, Your Honor. That's the statute where the court can appoint an attorney in a domestic case, and that's what the court did. Appointed me not as a guardian ad litem, but as an attorney. And then there's a separate sentence in that statute that says the court shall fix fees.
When does the county become obligated to pay the fees for a court-appointed attorney in a domestic relations case?
According to the statute, the county is responsible for paying those fees if the court makes a determination of indigency.
So what other statute do you rely upon for the granting of fees in this case against the county?
I don't know that there is one.
Well, then you don't have any remedy, do you?
Well, I hope that's not ultimately the determination that this court makes, but we believe that if the county is the moving party, then the issue of indigency is separate. So the court can make a determination if in the underlying case, the reason for the appointment, if one of the parties is indigent, then the court can require the county to pay that fee. And that process was followed appropriately, although this court disagreed with the judge in that case.
So it wasn't followed appropriately. If we ultimately held that the district court didn't have the power to ex post facto, if you will, determine indigency, the district court's determination was wrong.
I agree with that. The district court's determination was wrong. The procedure that the district court followed was correct under the statute. Ultimately, the decision you determined was wrong, but the procedure and how the court used that mechanism and making sure that the county got notice, having a hearing, all of the mechanisms of that were correct.
I'm inclined to agree with you that 42.358 would be the source of your fee. My problem is you were not the prevailing party, and I don't see how it can then justify the granting of fees in the appellate court, whether we were the ones to do it or whether the district court did it. I mean, I understand the district, I understand the position you're in.
Thank you.
I'm not expecting you to concede that you're not, that you lose this appeal. But I think it teaches a lesson, which I hope that the bar will convey to trial judges, and that is to make parties jointly and severally responsible so that lawyers aren't ex post facto left in the position that you were left in.
Thank you. Unless there's any further questions, the appellant also talks about the mandate, and the mandate talks about cost. It doesn't talk about fees. I think there's a difference between what is defined as a cost versus.
Well, had you asked for fees in this appellate court after the opinion was published or made known to you, you had 10 days under court rule in which to file an application for fees. That would I don't think this court is going to concede that the district court has authority to order fees in an appellate case unless there's a statutory provision for that. So your remedy would have been to file an application for fees within 10 days after the opinion came out, and then we would have decided at that point in time whether you were entitled to any fees, and the case would be over one way or the other.
I think that's definitely the appellant's position. When we looked at the cases that interpreted, the only four cases that have interpreted that rule, none of them had to do with any court-appointed fees.
In which statute does the district court have authority to award fees in an appellate court case other than in a criminal case?
I think what the district court judge did...
Keep in mind, we're not awarding fees against the spouse in the divorce case. We're awarding fees against the county.
I appreciate that, and I think that's really the heart of the issue, is who ultimately should pay for the fees, whether it's the county or it's one of the other parties. I think that ultimately is the issue, because I think the jurisdiction is with that statute where the court appointed me as the attorney for the minor children. And to answer your question, Judge, I think what the district court did in its order is it looked at both of the statutes that have been talked about here, the 2109 and then the 42358, saw that really there is no statute that addresses this very unique and very rare fact pattern. And the court tried
If you didn't like the way the fees were awarded in the district court, you could have asked the court to alter or amend the award of fees to make the parties jointly and severably liable, wouldn't you?
That's true.
So you had a remedy.
I don't know that any of those remedies would have been successful, Judge, because of the precedent that's established in the interpretation of
the remedy would be, if the wife didn't pay, you go against the husband for the total balance.
But the husband didn't have any choice in the appeal. It wasn't his decision to appeal. It was the county's decision to appeal. So I don't know that in good faith I could ask the court to order either the husband or the wife to pay the fees, because they had nothing to do with that decision or that process.
By the time that the bankruptcy occurred, that in effect cut off your rights against the spouse that didn't pay, hadn't the term expired, and actually wouldn't 6 months after the close of the term already have expired? So by that time, at most, the only way to get to the spouse who had paid would have been through some sort of equitable request to the district court.
I think that's exactly right. I think what this court determined in the underlying case was that bankruptcy was really a non-issue, because the court still made a determination that was different than what the district court made about indigency when you look at her income versus her expenses. But I agree that the remedy of going after parents, I don't think would be just, first of all, because they had nothing to do with the appeal decision, and two, any fees to be collected against Mrs. White were completely for
the county obviously has a right to appeal when it's ordered to pay fees that it's not obligated to pay.
Clearly.
I think the county is saying you had a few opportunities to get the fees other than in this fashion.
As
by a motion in this court within 10 days of the ruling, or back at the trial level within term, and or as an equitable matter. So
that's how I understand their argument, Judge. And when we looked at the statutes at issue here, and looked at how those statutes defined it, and particularly the last sentence of that 109 that talks about in a criminal case you go back to the appointing court, and when we looked at that situation and compared it to the statute in which I was appointed here, it appeared that going back to the issuing court was the appropriate remedy. And that's what we did.
I think it's a stretch to import the criminal law into this situation. The stakes are a little different.
I agree, Judge. The only reason we did that is because that was the only example in that statute that talked about a court-appointed fee, a court-appointed situation. Because the balance of 109 that the appellant cites and the cases that have interpreted that provision F, none of them are court-appointed fee requests. They're all requests by private parties that are asking for fees. So we were trying to determine, because we couldn't find any case law on this very issue and what the appropriate remedy was, we made a decision based upon our reading of the statutes and the statute that conferred jurisdiction and then State versus Rice, that we needed to go back before the issuing court and make that application.
Thank you.
Thank you. Even if you turn out to be wrong, we appreciate your arguments.
Thank you. In the event.
In the event.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. On we go then to In Re Interest of Cassandra B.